Testament. It's the book of Malachi. It's not that hard to find. A lot of times we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but just one book back. Malachi. Who was this guy? Malachi. Amen? Little series called Off-Roading. Every once in a while, I'll go and look at people's lives that they don't get much spotlight in the Bible, but they're very important. And they're important for us, okay? And though often we don't talk about them because they're hard to understand, especially a lot of these prophets and minor prophets and just a couple of them along the way. Let's look at it this morning. Go do some more off-roading. Now, y'all live, say, music hadn't put you to sleep yet, right? Okay, good, good. You just think about that coffee and donut you're having a little bit. Stay awake. Come on. Here we go. Look at Malachi. You know, look at that. That's UPS, baby. Malachi. He's God's messenger. Say that with me. Malachi is who? One more time. Malachi is who? God's messenger. That's what we're calling this little sermon this morning. Only about 22, 25 minutes. We got to go with it, though, and to see what we can learn. Got to fly, Rod. Here we go. Now, listen. This is the main thing we want to hit this morning. Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get answers. I don't know if you caught that or not. Answering God's questions, when God questions you or has questions in His Word about your life, you're not going to get answers when you try to throw back questions to God. Amen. Y'all listening or not? And you can talk to God, you can question things. Sure, that's okay. But the point is, when God's dealing with you in your life, and scriptures in your life, and principles in your life, and things with your life, friend, answering God some question ain't going to make you go away. You getting better ain't going to happen by giving Him some more questions. No, it's going to get better by you doing what He says do. Are you hearing me today? So, answering God's questions with more what is no way to get what? Answers. Okay? See, God's holy. And God is good all the time. And He requires you to have faith in Him and trust. But we're so driven with this question, that question, this question, that question. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you come to Thus Says the Lord, that's where it stops. You can have confidence in God. You're listening to me today. Okay? That's sort of the theme behind this little book. That's how I see it. Let's look at it. Malachi 1:1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by who? Malachi. So we know who wrote this little book. We believe, according to the Scripture, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And holy men of old, they were moved as the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's how we have our Bible. Okay, yeah, we know men wrote the Bible. I've heard that. Well, men wrote the Bible. Men wrote the Bible. Well, the Bible clearly says that men were moved by the Holy Spirit. And yes, their personalities involved, their writing styles are different, their culture of their day is there for sure. But this is God's Word when you hold it. You've got to have absolute confidence in your Bible. Are y'all listening to me or not? You're going to be screwy your whole life. You don't put confidence in God's Word. Who do you think you can trust? Say, come on, anchor it on the book, man. And that's what this man did. He wrote this little book. This is important for us. Let's look at it. This is the last book of the Old Testament. His name means, Malachi's name means what? There's your title on the side of the truck today. Malachi's name means what? My messenger. Keep looking. It's the only place his name is mentioned where? Whole Bible. So we forget about him. God didn't forget about him. He's got a big message for us today. His message really was to Israel. We'll see that, but we're going to learn about it. The book was written about 440 years before Christ. So it's been a while. Verse 2, we're rolling through the Scriptures a little bit, and we'll learn some things today. Verse 2, right off the bat, I have loved you, say it with me, says the, one more time, I have loved you, says the, have you ever done this? Look at that as we keep reading. Yet you say, wherein have you loved me? Have you ever questioned, let me see your hand, have you ever questioned God's love for you? You ever question God's love for you whenever you were struggling or when things happened bad in your life and basically you felt like you didn't have anything to do with it, but still you were run over by a bus? Can I see your hand if you questioned God's love? Be honest. Okay? So it's an important book, isn't it? These are things we deal with. Yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet I loved you? Speaking to Israel. Now, we've got to look at a little background here, and we'll try not to get it too deep. Here we go. God's love for Israel. God said to Israel, this is a prophet. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, but this is still good for our heart. We can learn. He says to them, I love you. Say that with me. I love you. They responded, well, wherein have you loved us? They were bitter. See, the Edomites are descendants of Esau. And they were bitter against God for what the Edomites had done unto them many, many, many years before. You ever felt like God left you high and dry? Say. You felt that way? Where were you, God? Why did you lead me to the slaughter? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did I lose my loved one? Why? And so God's saying, I love you, but they're bitter. And they're holding on to things that were generations ago. And they can't hear the voice of God. And so Malachi, his name is what? My what? My messenger. You need to hear the message that I love you. But you'll never hear the message that God loves you when He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to get you to where you need to be in your life with questions and things like that by asking Him more questions. Well, why'd you let this happen? You'll never get answers in your life if you think that way. You hearing me today? Let's look at it. Now, what happened, it was part of a prophecy and also spelled out in the book of Obadiah. I just want to read this a little bit to help you see this, the deal that the Edomites did to the Israelis and how they were holding on to some bitterness. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of your brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. This is the Edomites, still related to the Israelites, but they led them to the slaughter. They looked at them as they were being slaughtered. They were being starved to death. They wouldn't let them go pass through their land. You have to read your Bible to catch all this stuff, but this is what they're bitter about. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. As they're being led to the slaughter and started, have you taken their stuff? And Israel's bitter about this. And they have this, God, where were you? Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut us off. We could have come into your land. Israel could have come into the land of Esau and the land of the Edomites and would have been saved and would have been spared. But no, they cut them off. And so they were led to the slaughter. And they were taken captive. Neither should thou hast delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Just real quickly. They have this bitterness. They can't hear God's love because these violent acts that were done against them. Am I losing you or not? I know this is a little deep. But I want you to think about things in your life or things that have happened. And sometimes we hold on to those things and we can't hear God. Are you listening? Nine violent things fast. They stood on the other side when they were struggling. They looked at their brothers Israel as he became a stranger, was taken away captive. They rejoiced at our destruction. They spoke proudly at our distress. They entered the gates of Israel with the enemy. They're supposed to be with us. They looked at Israel with affliction. They took Israel's stuff. They stood in the crossway. They delivered us to the captives. And you say you love us, God? You listening? What's the point? God said, I love you. But the bitterness over what the Edomites had done to them kept them from experiencing and embracing the love of God. You think we're still prone to do that? Yes or no? Say. This is human nature, guys. You ever said, why did God let that happen? Well, He's God. He could have stopped it, right? Well, you live on a fallen planet with sinful people, and you're one of those sinful people, and I'm one of those sinful people. And we're bad, guys. Did you know that? Say. And bad mess happens down here. But we still say, but yeah, but why did God let that happen? As if we're all just little puppets and He's pulling the strings. We forget God has given us free will. Say free will. Did you know He gave your neighbor free will too? Did you know He gave your wife free will and your husband free will? Did you know you gave your kids free will? How many had your heart broke at times in your life because of your children? Can I see your hand? See there? Listen to me. Why'd you let that happen? God, I did such a good job. I took them to church. Why did it happen? And you can't hear the voice of God. And so instead of listening to His love, we question it. And that is answering His question, or he's trying to talk to us, and we keep throwing other mess up in the way, and our life's a wreck, and we have no faith, and we're screwed up. It'd be nice if we could all learn what Jacqueline's saying today, that sometimes what we go through, Jacqueline, God receives that as a hallelujah. When we struggle, and yet we praise Him still. Y'all listening? That's sort of the message here. Is there something keeping you from experiencing the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? When I say, God loves you, God loves you, do you recoil? How can He love me? That's what this book's about. Does some bad experience or hurt that you've endured come to mind when I say God loves you? And you draw back. Abuse or neglect from your parents. Hurt, man. Betrayed by a family member or a close friend. The death of someone you love so much, I can't live without them. Are you hearing me now? A disease that's killing you. How could God love me? Well, I'm here to tell you, He loves you. Y'all listen to me or not? God loves you. He sent His one and only Son to die for you so that you could have everlasting life. Amen? Let's keep looking at this little book. Let's unwrap it a little bit. Where has God loved me, they said. Satan does not want you to accept the love of God. Satan wants you to dwell on past hurts and disappointments. Amen. Say. Did you know what, guys? I can't fix somebody if they want to be better. Did y'all understand that? Yes or no? Somebody wants to have a bad attitude, be negative, try to get other people to be negative. I can't fix that. God can fix that, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some Him doing and you and me, when I get that way, acknowledging I got one here. You listening? See, that's Satan. We act all spiritual and stay in our bitterness and our resentment or anger, whatever it is. At the end of the day, you're miserable. There's no way to get over that unless you say, wait a minute, God's been good to me. You hear me today? God loves me. Satan wants you to continue to question God instead of what? Believing God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. You must, instead of accepting God's love and rebuke even, they question Him. See, God rebukes them because they don't love Him. And because they don't love Him, they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And they blame it on the fact, well, you don't love me. If you can get to the place where you say God does not love you, then it's Katie bar the door. You can do anything you want. Amen. You can justify anything. Keep looking. Let's keep rolling with the Scripture. So now you know basically what this little book's about. They're questioning God's love. And every time He asks them a question, they throw a question back in His face. Watch it. Here we go. God speaking. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If I then be your father, where is my honor? If I be your master, where is my fear? Where is your reverence of me, God says? Says the Lord of hosts, O priest that despise my name. And you say this, wherein have we despised your name? See how they threw the question back. Well, if they would see their actions and the way they're doing in their heart, they would know they're not living for God. They're not doing the right thing. But instead of taking ownership and responsibility, they throw a question back to God. A son honors his father. Worker honors his boss. This should be plain Jane English here, dude. I'm God. You're not. Honor me. God was trying to deal with them, but they kept throwing back questions in His face. Keep looking. Where have we despised you? That's what they said. Have we done that? Keep looking. Well, okay. Here we go. You ask me a question. Let's play the game, God says. Well, you've offered polluted bread at the altar. Not giving me your best. And then you say, wherein have we polluted you? See how they did it again? Yes or no? Do you see how they did that? He answers their question, and they answer His question with a what? Are they getting anywhere? I'm afraid if we do this, we're going to tick Him off. So what we're going to do. In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Keep looking. Wherein have we wearied you? You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. You want me to answer you about you despising me? You say it's weariness to serve you. It's hard. It's wearing us out. And you've been suffering at it for Jesus, says the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn to me. You took the easy road. You take the thing that's torn and lame and sick, and that's what you bring as an offering because you're not giving your heart to it anymore. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord? Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you. Say that with me. Return unto, and I'll return unto. One more time. Return unto, and I'll return unto. One more time. Return unto, and I'll return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But then you say this. Wherein shall we return? Just one more question. Are y'all getting the gist of this crazy book? It's really not that crazy at all, is it? This is me. I do this. Do you do that sometimes? Say, come on. Now, through the book, you can find this. I've just picked out several. God speaking, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? There's a question again. God says, in tithes and offerings. Guys, when we get away from God's love, when we get away from the fact that God loves us and has saved us, we get away from His grace and how much He has changed our life and that heaven is our home and that we're strangers and pilgrims down here. When you get away from that kind of thinking, so goes the giving. Because you begin to live for yourself and you start to lose that passion that, wait a minute, as I was saved, I have to take responsibility and I need to care for other people. You understand? Where have we robbed it? See, they couldn't even see it because they're living for themselves. Where have we spoken against you? Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. But you say this, huh? What do we say? You see how they're doing it? Am I driving you up the wall? Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get answers. Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get answers. Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get, especially when He's trying to nail it, man. He's trying to help you, man. He's trying to save you, man. He's trying to get you back on you. He's trying to get you where you can be used of Him again. But no. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of what? God. God's Word isn't for us to argue with. God's Word is with us for us to obey and receive it. Even if you don't know how you're going to do it, you do it by faith. Are you going to believe God or not? That's the message. Let's flip the table real quick, and we got about 5 minutes. Let's flip the table now. Now here they are. Had we loved, had we not, had we not, had we not, had we. Well, God says, okay. Let's flip that sucker. You say you love me? God speaking. God says, then honor me. Flip that table. See, this is God speaking. This is how we show we love God, by honoring Him. Let's turn these questions into answers this morning. How does God, when He tells me He loves me, what should my response be? My response should be honor. Correct? That should be my response. We've already read that scripture. It's okay. Let's keep moving. God says, give me your best what? If you say, where have we not loved you, God? Well, you're not giving me your best sacrifice. So this flipping the table would then be, give me your best sacrifice. Give me your best. I gave you my Son. I gave you my precious Word. I've given you the Holy Spirit, the living God. I've given you everything you have, your breath, and anything you have. Then you give me the best. Don't bring something to me lame and I'll tore up and say, oh, I love God. When you can do better. Keep looking. How do I love Him? How do I show that I accept His love and I'm in His love? Be a godly example to other people. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. He did turn many from iniquity. For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We should be talking and living and doing in such a way that we're encouraging people in the Lord, not discouraging people in the Lord. Y'all listening to me or not? But bitterness will keep you from doing that. Bitterness will help you focus on the negative. Bitterness will cause you to think the bad. But you're not showing that you love God. Are you listening? You think you are because you're sort of spiritual, you think. But you're not. I'm not. My lips should praise the Lord. My lips should lead others into truth and the path and the right way. You say you love me, then treat people equally. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you've been what? Partial. Have we not all one Father? Say. Have we not one God who created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? You're holding on to things that happened a long time ago and hate still in your heart, and you're treating people horribly. Let it go. Love me, God says. Follow me. He says, okay, you say you love me, or you know, you want to show me that you love me? Then be faithful to your spouse. Say that with me. Be faithful to your... And this I have, this have you done. Again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out in so much that he regards not the offering anymore or receives it with goodwill at your hand. You're just crying false tears here, alligator tears. Yet you say, where have we done that? Because the Lord has been witness between you and your what? Wife of your youth, against whom you've dealt what? Yet she's your companion and the wife of your covenant. You understand? This is a deep little book. A lot of good stuff here, I'll tell you, if you unwrap it. God says, give to the Lord cheerfully. If I love you, then this should be the table flip. This should be how you respond to me. Well, a man robbed God, and you've robbed me. Give to the Lord cheerfully. You say, where have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? And then God says this, because of that, you're cursed with a curse. Because you've robbed me, even this whole nation. And guys, I'll be honest with you. It keeps going, says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of what? And I'll pour out you of what? That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Back up Scripture one more time, Roger. I'm quitting. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. Say that last part with me. How about one more time? You're cursed with a curse, for you've what? Even this whole... You that are trying to figure out maybe why America's going to hell in a handbasket, it seems. Maybe it's because we haven't loved God back when He says He loves us. We question Him, and we don't give, and we don't care for our people like we ought to care for people. Getting the gospel out, sharing the gospel, doing the things that we ought to be doing, reaching people. And guess what? There's been residual effects. Amen? I ask of you, let's be people who love God. Let's be people when God says He loves us, we respond by, I know you love me. Amen? Let's respond instead of with questions, with flipping the table and honoring Him and being faithful to our spouse and doing the right thing and being a giver and caring about our community. Isn't that a good thing to do, guys? That's the message of Malachi. What I learned today. I never get a whole long way with God when I answer His question with a, here's the way it ought to be. Yes, sir. Amen. You're God, and I am not. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Help it find good ground in our heart today. Father, I especially pray that all of us in this room will receive the free gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray we'll stop questioning, well, does He love me, or what about this, or what about that? I pray we will take you at your word and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. I pray everyone in this room, before they walk out of this door today, will believe in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross, that He rose from the dead, and we put our faith in Jesus and no one else. Help us to believe that You love us. You sent Your only Son because You love us so much. Help us stop the questions concerning Your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.